When I was growing up in Sunday school, not only did we learn Bible verses, we memorized Bible verses. And if you memorized a whole bunch, you got a pen or a certificate. Did anybody else have that Sunday school experience of, you know, and you walk around, look at my pen for Bible verses? That was pretty cool. No trophies, but you get the pen. Now, in the Reformed tradition that we worship in, we focus on the Word, trying to understand what those scriptures and words mean. And that means we have to do more than memorize them or become familiar with them in a way that we say, oh, I've heard that before. I've heard that scripture before. It really means that we unpack what we read and hear. So this morning as I was preparing for our time together, I thought, well, which verse and scripture should we focus on? I thought, well, why not the greatest? The greatest commandment. You can't go wrong with that. I mean, we're not talking about the above average commandment. We're not talking about the pretty good commandment. We're talking about the greatest. And if you keep unpacking the title of that a little bit more, it's a commandment. It's not the greatest suggestion. It's not the greatest idea. It's not the greatest invitation. We're talking, this is the best thing that we can and should be doing. And if you unpack that even more, you'll notice, if we have any English scholars in here, English teachers, the conjunction of loving your God with all your mind and your soul and your heart and your strength. It's the conjunction is and, not or. We weren't given a choice. Well, use your head or your heart or your hands. No, no, no. This is a big comprehensive commandment to do all of these things. So I thought this morning we'd spend our time together unpacking the greatest commandment. So let me walk over here and get something. Here it is, the greatest commandment. And I thought we'd unpack it. And I've tried to consolidate this with the key words. We've got love. And we have others. Your hands. Your heart. Yourself. And I think on the bottom is your head. So we're talking about our head, heart, and hands, which is also explains the cover of your bulletin this morning. So we're going to unpack this sucker. And I'm inviting you to accompany me as I attempt to make meaning of this. All right? First of all, the word love. Oh, boy. You know, we could look up the word love, and unfortunately, the English version, our English word for love, isn't all that great. It's become cliche. It can mean a lot of things. We don't have the luxury of having words like agape and philia and caritas. We have love, and it's almost lost its meaning in a lot of ways, as we talked about in the children's time this morning. And the very first hymn we have this morning, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Ah. So, what the heck do we mean when we use that word? I thought, no better expert than, let's consult a poet. W.H. Auden defines love as an intense attention to something or someone. I kind of like that. An intense attention to something or someone. So as we continue to unpack that, we can almost take the word love out and substitute an intense attention, right? So, how do we give an intense attention to God with our head, with our minds? Now, we Presbyterians are very comfortable going up here, right? We like it up here. There's a lot going on up here. We tend to stay away from down here and all that. So how do we love God with our head? One is to, well, there's a lot of ways. I started thinking about a study Bible. I love my study Bible. You can see all the post-it notes in there. Because there are footnotes and little sidebars that explain words and the context and the setting and what was going on. And I go, oh, that's what's going on. That helps me understand. And so it's helping my mental learning process. The other is a Bible commentary. And this happens to be a hard copy, but you can get online and look. There's some great resources online. Biblios is this fantastic website where you can type in a Bible verse and ask for 20 different versions or translations of the Bible, and it breaks it all down for you. So that's really great. So we're loving God with our minds. We're thinking about the Word. That can happen on a Wednesday morning at breakfast at a country club in Milwaukee with a bunch of men sitting around, right? So that's one way that we can give an intense attention to God with our heads. Let's see, what's next? Heart. All right. We Presbyterians could use a little work on this. We like to stay up here when we're often reluctant to listen what's going on down in the heart. The heart is a place for reflection and compassion and contemplation. Up here is knowledge and wisdom, or knowledge and information, and down here is wisdom. It's knowing and making meaning of what's going on up here and doing it and thinking about it and feeling. Our brothers and sisters in more evangelical traditions love to go down here because of the zeal and the rush and the feel-good thing that happens to them here. It's kind of like going to a rock concert sometimes. But when we go down here, we might uncover a lot of emotions, maybe some that we don't really want to notice or pay attention. And so it's easier to stay up here and be busy in our lives than to think about what we're feeling and how we're feeling. But that's okay. These are gifts from God, and they're right here. This is where our prayers spring from. Our prayers come from here, from what we're feeling. So we talked about our head and our heart. What's next? Our hands. Now I've consolidated the scripture of with our might and strength to our hands, because now we're putting what we know and what we feel into action and do. So how do we give intense attention to God with our hands? It's by doing. It's by living and being a certain way. It's by volunteering in the community. It's by going to Nicaragua and working on a water project. It's getting backpacks for kids in schools. It's making coffee for coffee hour, because that's a time of fellowship. What we do with our hands to show that we love God. All right, so that's the God part. How do we give intense attention to ourselves and to others? Let's start with ourselves.
If you're a CPAP user, soap and water cleaning may leave harmful bacteria, viruses, and mold that can make you sick. That alone first and only automated hands-free CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. So clean.
For some of us, it's hard to love ourselves. We're carrying a lot of baggage with us, and there are many people in the world who just find it difficult, if not impossible, to love themselves, which is sad. And that's going to take some gifts and love from others to help them work through that. But we can love ourselves with our head, heart, and hands as well. We can learn about ourselves, who we are, what our journey is, where did we come from, our family history, how did we get to this place here and now. We can sit down and reflect on our strengths and our weaknesses. Here are all the things that I do pretty well, and here are the things that I'm going to need help with or work on, or I'm not doing so well. And that's who I am, warts and all. You can also do some fancy schmancy psychological tests like the Minnesota Multipersonality Inventory or the Myers-Briggs and give you this profile, but that's a little overkill. I'm inviting you to sit down with a piece of paper and think about how you got to this place here and now and who you are and whose you are. So that's how we learn using our heads about ourselves. What about going down here and loving ourselves? For me, it's in a journal. And I have a conversation with myself, and a lot of times God sneaks in there. And I hear the word of God in those. And I just like to sit and be still. Loving yourself means hitting the pause button, turning off the computer, silencing the cell phone, and sitting down with yourself. Because that's where God finds us, in those moments where we're loving ourselves and being good to ourselves and taking care of ourselves. We can love ourselves with our hands as well. What we do to our bodies, with our bodies, how we eat, how we live, that's a way of loving ourselves. And God takes great joy and delight seeing that. So now, we've talked about our God and ourselves. It's our others and our neighbors. So how do we, who are our neighbors? We can find out in National Geographic.
I'm Alan Gottlieb, Chairman of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms.
And our neighbors, if we use a map, we can track them down. They're right here in our community, they're around the country, they're around the world. So our neighbors aren't just the people next door. They're all around us. And that's who we're talking about. So how do we give intense attention to our neighbors with our heads? Let's read, learn about them, get online. I've changed my splash page for my getting online. So the first thing I see when I get online is the BBC. I'm seeing the news from the BBC and their perspective on things going on. The other nice thing about the BBC is I learned about places that we rarely hear or talk or think about here in our own country with our kind of U.S.-centric lens. So I learned about the mudslides going on in Sierra Leone, wiping out entire villages. So I can love my neighbors with my head by learning about them. I can go to street fairs and neighborhood fairs here in Portland to see what the culture and the food is all about. How do I love my neighbors? And serve them with my hands? Combine things. Let's start with this. This is a shopping bag. And this represents a couple of things. First of all, it's a reusable recyclable grocery bag. And so that's environmentally good stewardship because the environment affects our neighbors all around the world. The other thing is thinking about what goes into my shopping bag and the things that I buy. Did this shirt come from a sweatshop where people are being paid pennies to create a product that I'm using? Is the coffee I'm drinking fair trade and environmentally friendly? When I intentionally give my attention to those things, I am loving my neighbor, the neighbors I don't even know and see all around the world. So these are some of the things that I have discovered for my own spiritual journey when it comes to unpacking the greatest commandment. And what I have to do now is put it all back.
But I called this company up and I said, can you send someone? My house is hot. And they said, yeah, we'll do that.
And not just memorize the passage, but to unpack it and make this the cornerstone of my own spiritual foundation. Because if this truly is the greatest commandment that we've been called to do, everything else builds off of this. And all the other scriptures are bricks in our own spiritual foundation. But this is the cornerstone of who we are and whose we are when we give our intense attention to God, to ourselves, and to our neighbors. Amen.
So he slaps in a new capacitor, comes in.